For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered.
Bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Welcome to St. Thomas Sports Park, and welcome to Game Week. We're glad to have you with us tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show. Your calls for the head coach at 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. You're welcome to go ahead and jump online and get in line for head coach Mike Mularkey. We also take your Twitter questions at Titans Radio. That's at Titans Radio. And we'd love to hear from you that way so you can talk Titans Raiders with Mike Mularkey momentarily. Of course, the Tennessee Titans going to open the regular season Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Kickoff is set for noon Central Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern. We're on the air at 11 Central with Titans Countdown. Third straight year that the Raiders have come in to Nissan Stadium. Raiders have won each of the last 2 years in 2015 in late November, 24-21. Last year, 17-10. The Titans going to try to stop that streak and get off with a very good win. Last year, the Raiders number one in the National Football League in turnover ratio, tying with Kansas City at plus 16 on the season. They took care of the football. They won 12 games, and they were in control of the AFC West until right at the end of the year when Derek Carr suffered a fractured fibula and missed the close of the season. And then, of course, the Raiders fell quickly in the playoffs. But they look to bounce back with an attack that features three very talented wide receivers, Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper, and Seth Roberts. The addition of Jared Cook as the tight end, and the big-name addition, Marshawn Lynch, the hometown guy, comes out of retirement. He'll play running back for the Raiders this year. They also add a dynamic special teams element in Cordarrelle Patterson. So speed and athleticism and power all in that Raider offense. And the Titans, Mike Mularkey, got a lot of things to do to slow these guys down on Sunday in Nashville.
We do. That's a pretty potent offense, especially outside with those two receivers. Really, really, really potent. And having Marshawn Lynch doesn't look like he missed a beat here, taking a year off. Actually looks stronger and faster.
Todd Downing is the new offensive coordinator. Is it harder to prepare for them not really having seen what Downing's going to do calling the plays?
I don't think so. He's been in the system, for a number of years. He was a quarterback's coach there prior to being the coordinator. So he has a pretty good understanding of this offense. But they have been very vanilla this preseason. Like most teams, haven't shown a lot of their hand. But not with our defense and Coach LeBeau. We're prepared for their scheme.
Massive offensive line.
Yes, massive. One of the bigger ones in the NFL. And they're built that way. They're road graders, they're run blockers, tough to get around even in pass protection just because of their size more than anything.
And you look at their tackles and you say, oh, those guys, good players, impressive. But guard, center, guard, really good on the interior.
Very good, very good. Yeah, it's a well-built offense. I mean, you're talking about speed outside, size up front, gave up the fewest sacks last year. Some of that has to do with the scheme. They have a quarterback that's only going to keep getting better and better, young quarterback, but does a lot of good things well, and very, very confident in what he's in his own ability. And, that's a scary thought. He's got weapons to help him with that confidence.
Why has Derek Carr been successful since coming into the NFL?
Well, he's very smart. He's very intelligent. He studies the game. He understands the game. He knows a lot of what's going on before it actually happens, which is a huge part of that position. If you have a good idea of what opponents are trying to do to try to stop you, he's very intelligent. But I think a lot of it is his confidence. I mean, he is very his ability, and he knows what he has. He's another guy that can run, very athletic quarterback. But he's got the players around him to have that kind of confidence. And he's not afraid to throw the deep ball. He loves throwing the deep ball, and those guys go get it for him.
Let's go right to the phones at 877-848-2671. Caleb in Memphis, our leadoff caller tonight. You're on Titans Radio. Caleb, go right ahead.
Hey, Coach. How's it going?
Good, Caleb.
Well, I had a couple of questions for you. First, being in Memphis, I hadn't heard that much about Tim Shaw until I read some of his story the other day, and I was wondering who exactly is Tim Shaw and what's his role on the Titans?
Tim is he's an important role, important person on this football team. He is a former Titan. He played 6 years in the NFL, finished up here in Tennessee. He was a captain of the special teams. He was a core special teams player, meaning he was one of the best that was in the league. And he was diagnosed with ALS. His last year was 2012. He's been a big part of this team. He's come and talked to our team a couple of times, but he's a piece of it. He's a piece of why we're going to be good. Our players love having Tim around here. He's very involved with our special team still. He comes in on Mondays and gives a dissertation on the opponent coming up, their special teams. And the players and coaching staff voted on him to be a captain this year with the other five captains. So that just tells you the respect he has around here.
Caleb, thanks so much for
thanks,
the call.
Caleb.
Marcus Mariota, Wesley Woodyard, Delanie Walker, Brian Arakpo, Jarrell Casey, and Tim Shaw, the captains. How did it come up that Tim Shaw made it onto ballots and became one of the captains? How did that happen?
Well, I just felt that he should be on there. I mean, he's part of this football team. He's got a locker in the locker room. He does a lot for our players. He does a lot for our staff, our coaching staff. He works with the players on the field, in some capacity. I just felt like his name needed to be involved and included because he is part of our football. He's a Titan for life. We told him that he's still looking for his check, his
bonus.
His bonus. That's why I love him. I mean, he's such a fighter, and I love Tim Shaw. I love what he stands for and what he's done for our team, what he's done for me personally. But he deserves to be a captain as those other five.
Do you think this is maybe the first time in NFL history that someone who is not on an active roster has been chosen as a captain?
I don't know all the facts. I know it's important here that he is.
Yeah.
And he will represent us at the coin toss for our games.
Ernie in Kingsport, thanks so much for being with us at 877-848-2671. Glad to have you with us on Titans Radio. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hello, Mike. How you doing? Hello, Coach. How are you? I want to know the rotation of the tight ends, how many tight ends you're going to use, and will there be quite a few sets where there will be two tight ends on the same place?
Yeah, we this year, other than my previous 3 years, we have three tight ends on the roster. We've kept four. A lot of that had to do with our special teams and actually the age of our tight ends. I think we've got a little younger with Jonnu Smith, and Delanie's probably running as well, and he's playing at the highest level since I've been here in 4 years. But we'll have three tight ends on the roster, and they'll all be used. They all have different skills, but you'll see multiple times two tight end sets, three tight end sets. And, again, those guys will be heavily involved with special teams other than Delanie.
Thanks for the call, Ernie. We appreciate you being with us, 877-848-2671. Also, Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Let's get a couple of those. JR wants to know, is the secondary ready for Derek Carr and the Raiders' passing attack?
Well, they better be. No, I think we've had a good camp, really a good off season. We have a lot of new additions back there, new faces with Cyprian and Logan Ryan. Obviously, Adoree being a new addition back there. We have some new faces, and we have a lot of moving parts back there in regards to the scheme. We've gotten a lot of good quality work in, and there's probably not going to be a better test than this group coming in.
Josh wants to know, Coach, how important is our, meaning the fans, how important is our role at Nissan Stadium on Sunday? He says, I'm ready to bring it.
I love that. I hope that our whole stadium is ready to bring it. Obviously, it's a huge role. I mean, you see that week in and week out, home teams having that advantage of the noise. And we will practice for our defense a noise factor on Thursday and Friday here, because we expect it to be loud for the Raiders offense, our crowd. Making it a very difficult place to play. And so our defense has to get used to the noise as well.
Walker in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So glad for you to be joining us on Titans Radio. Go ahead for Coach Mike Mularkey.
All right. Marcus Mariota's been an underrated quarterback in his NFL career. I think he's a dark horse candidate for the MVP. My question really is, Rishard Matthews and Eric Decker, two big superstar receivers, how well do they compete and get yards this season?
Well, I'm a big fan of Marcus, too. I think, he just continues to get better and better. And, we got some additions here that I'm hoping continue to help his progress. But it's nice to have Eric Decker here. We're going to have Corey Davis this Sunday. We really haven't had our core group of receivers in together for a game and rarely even practice. But I think you talk about guys that want to compete. Rishard Matthews is going to compete. I mean, this guy comes out to practice every day and thinks he's going to win every route. And Decker's no different, and Corey's going to give a chance to show what he's capable of doing. And don't forget Taywan Taylor, who's got some explosive play in his game.
Speaking of Bowling Green.
Yes.
let me ask you this question from Christian. He wants to know, is Bo Brinkley 100% healthy and ready for Sunday?
He is. He practiced yesterday at full strength, and he should be there Sunday for us. And he's missed when he's not in there.
Your calls at 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. We'd love to hear from you tonight on Titans Radio, 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. That's the number. Twitter questions at Titans Radio, at Titans Radio. Let's right now have our Pinnacle moment of the game. Sign up for a Titans checking account with Pinnacle, and you could receive a $200 gift card for Titans gear and an autographed DeMarco Murray helmet. Details at TitansBanking.com. Pinnacle, play hard, bank easy.
Going to be a 48-yard field goal try for Suckup. He converted late in the first quarter from 40 yards. Snapper is Brinkley. Holder is Kern. Ball will rest in the center of the field. Suckup, who was drafted in the seventh round by Kansas City, strokes this one downfield, and the kick is good.
48-yarder for Ryan Suckup, ready to start the regular season. That's our pinnacle moment of the game from Kansas City, only fitting since he played for the Chiefs. He has had a nice preseason, and obviously good to get Bo Brinkley back, but what a preseason by your punter, Brett Kern.
He has been bombing it and needs to continue to do that. He's really – and not just – you know, getting the distance, it's the placement. I mean, this past game to pin the Chiefs down inside the 10 twice, three times they were inside the 20. Just phenomenal the way he's punting the ball.
And your coverage units overall, your starting coverage units at least, have been outstanding.
They have. We have definitely improved our coverage. We got a bunch of guys that are out to make a name for themselves if they already haven't in this preseason. So I'm real pleased with it. You know, we had some struggles with the younger guys, some of the guys that aren't here anymore with the punt return for the touchdown. But for the guys that are here, the guys that are starting on those units, I'm really pleased with them.
How do the 11 linebackers factor into special teams?
A lot. I mean, they do. I mean, we probably have more, we have 28 on our roster that are for defense, 22 on offense. And again, a lot of that's based on special teams. We have more in the secondary than we normally have and more linebackers. And again, because of their role on Sundays, we say they're fourth down players. That's what they are.
Overall, are you surprised from what you would have thought at the start of training camp that you would keep 11 linebackers? Not, do you ever think about numbers that way?
No, I don't. I just, as we look at it, John and I look at the roster. Again, if you're not a starter, you have to have some type of role if you can on special teams. You got to have something that if you're – and that's kind of the way what I'm typically used to. That has not been the case here with our roster. It's had to come from different areas. But right now our linebacking group, our safety group, even you know, we're getting a Fluellen that can help, which is big. He's a good special teams player. We've got John New Smith. I think Supernaw is a core special teams players. We have guys that are actually – should be doing that if they're not starting.
You made a move yesterday. You swap out Brian Schwenke for Tim Lolito in the offensive line. Why is Schwenke the right answer for you?
Well, Brian's been here in this offense. He was in here last year. You know, unfortunately, we couldn't re-sign him when the year was over. And he understands the system. He knows his role. It's just familiarity with him. And glad to have him back. You know, unfortunately, Tim Lolito, again, he'll be playing in the league somewhere. He's a good football player, too. But we just, at this time for our roster, felt like Schwenke was a better fit.
So your top seven offensive linemen from last season are back?
Pretty much, yeah. And, again, that's hard to say in this league. Really, to have the same starting five is not typical in the NFL. So have those guys back, and then those same seven will be – up on Sundays.
Let's go to Farragut and take a call from Alex at 877-848-2671. Alex, we welcome you to Titans Radio. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mike, first of all, I'd like to tell you thank you. I'm an assistant coach at Farragut High School, and you called our state championship game against Independence back in December, and it was magical to come home and actually get to watch it on TV and hear how great of a game you called for us.
And, oh, thank you.
But it was nice to have you a part of it. I mean, it was a special game. And, Coach, I just want to tell you good luck on your season and wish you all the success that you guys deserve and the hard work that you guys are putting in. And look forward to watching some really exciting games this season.
Appreciate the support, Alex. Thank you very much.
Nice call. Thank you, Alex. And hopefully the Admirals will have another good year after winning their first state championship. Miles in Lebanon as we come back to Middle Tennessee. Miles, thank you so much for being with us on Titans Radio.
Hey, thanks. Hey, Coach, I just had a question about, you know, last year when we played the Vikings, we had a difficult time shutting down the tight end. I just wanted to ask, Jared Cook's a great tight end. I enjoyed watching him when he was with the Titans. Who in particular is it going to be, Byard, or maybe one particular linebacker that's going to be matched up against Jared Cook this Sunday? And I'll hang that's on.
Thanks, Miles, for the question. That's a good question. We're putting our game plan in together right now. Start Tuesdays are the main day to put that together. Coach LeBeau will have a plan for Jared. He is a good tight end, and again, the complement of the receivers outside make him even much more of a threat. That you gotta know where he is, be aware of where he is. But the guys you mentioned, Byard, Jayon Brown, you know, Avery, at some point or another, they're all gonna have a chance to get to cover him in the scheme.
Coach LeBeau turns 80 on Saturday. And I mean, I guess this doesn't – when you say that in our world, it doesn't come as a shock because we're also used to seeing Coach LeBeau. He will become the first man in his 80s to be a coordinator in the National Football League. Can you sort of and I mean, we've used superlatives over and over about this guy, but it really is remarkable.
He is remarkable. He is you would never know that. And again, he's very, very intelligent, he's still so competitive for being in the league now 59 years, both playing and coaching. And, he's still a great schemer, still comes up with blitzes every day. Just, the one thing I love about him, every day he walks in, he looks at you right in the eye and he says, "A great day to be alive." And he lives life that way. He loves life. He loves coaching. And I know he loves his team.
You played in this league, and so explain this to me because I didn't, so I don't know. But how in the world does he relate to guys who are, I mean, he could be their great-grandfather. Not just their grandfather. He could be
boy,
their,
your kid.
But no, but I mean, he could. Very, very literally. But they love him.
Oh, boy, they love him.
They listen to him. If you meet guys who are younger than me, who are slightly older than me, people who, you know, you might have played for him in certain instances, everybody throughout the age range has the same reaction to him.
No question.
What is that and why is that?
Well, he's just adapted to the changes over the time. And we all have had to do that. I mean, I have had to do that as well.
Sure.
Not as many times as he has. but he's just been able to do that. And, you know, the one thing about him, he hasn't changed a whole lot. His demeanor's, you know, he's just very easygoing. He's very demanding in his own way. But he gets how players, young and old, think, how they react to his coaching. And he's just, you know, he's a very good communicator. And that's important in this business.
He played for Woody Hayes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one would think, and especially defensive coordinators who often tend to be, let's say, high energy, let's say intense. And he's intense in his own way, but his demeanor is nothing like his former college coach in terms of how he treats his players. And I mean, it's very modern how he has always dealt with.
Yeah,
guys.
He, you know, and this is important in this business. He really cares about each and every one of those guys. I know when I sit in the defensive meeting room for the meetings, and he cares about each and every one of them, not just as players but as people.
Sure.
And he cares about them being successful, and that's what's important as a coach. It's really important to him that he puts them in a position to be successful. And I think the players realize that it's real. It is really how he's done it, and he's had a lot of success. You better pay attention to him. And he's going to continue to have that success until he says, I've had enough, and I don't know when that's going
to
be.
Well, as we travel, and as teams come into Nissan Stadium, it's amazing to see coaches and scouts and people who have played for him at different times, at different places, and their reaction to him is just like the current Titans players. It's so emotional and so heartfelt.
It is. It is. And it's real. That's the biggest thing. It's real. And I'm very blessed to have been able to coach with Coach LeBeau and known him for as many years as I've known him.
Well, just to watch him in practice is a treat.
I can say this to you. He is very intense during games.
Oh, sure he is. Oh, I know. I mean, he's a competitor
now. Oh, boy. Yeah. You think you get frustrated when a you know, a ball carrier breaks a big one or a deep ball gets completed? I'm not sure you can be nearly as frustrated as he is.
Let's get Garrett's call from Dixon. Garrett, thanks for holding on the line as we talk about Coach Dick LeBeau. Welcome to Titans Radio and the Mike Mularkey Show. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Hey, I wanted to start off. I've got two statements and a question. My first statement is, Coach, I've had a chance to meet you at a few of the season ticket fan events. I just wanted to thank you for the time you put into those and just being so personal and being a guy that, you know, puts the fans first. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mike, wanted to let you know you are to Titans fans what Ben Scully is to Dodgers fans.
Wow.
I can't imagine the Titans without Mike Keith. You make game days that much more special, and I appreciate the work you put in. Now,
thank you.
My question is with Brian Schwenke coming back from the Colts, and I know we got the Raiders on Sunday, but I hate the Colts. My question is, how much do the coaching staff pick the brains of players who have kind of been behind enemy lines, such as Brian Schwenke, and how do they use that to our advantage?
That's a really good question. I mean, really good question. Because it's come up today, we signed a corner today to our practice squad who's been with Oakland he was on the practice squad for an entire year. And we have Darren Bates here and Brendan Trawick on our roster, both from Oakland. Again, core special teams players and guys that have played defense. So, yeah, we grill them for any information we possibly can get from them. And we do that, you know, we'll do the same thing with Schwenke when we get to our nemesis, the Colts.
Good call.
Yeah, good question.
And Garrett, thank you so much for the fine compliments. One more segment with the coach coming up. One more segment for you to call and talk with him at 877-848-2671. That's 877-848-2671. Titans radio analyst Dave McGinnis joins us in our final segment tonight, but we have one more segment with the star of the show, Mike Mularkey, on the Mike Mularkey Show at 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. We're glad to have you with us tonight, either via phone or if you have an opportunity to send us a Twitter question, at Titans Radio. That's at Titans Radio. We open it up and see what's next. Hey, Coach, just wondering if you foresee Adoree Jackson getting any reps on offense in the future. This comes from Giancarlo.
Oh, there's a good chance of that. Yeah, there's a very good chance of that. He's a versatile player. I've seen him be explosive on offense as well, and may even see it sooner than you think.
How about that? All right, let's go to Josh, who says, my question for Coach is, how strong do we feel about our secondary?
Oh, I think we've done a – John, I know, has and myself feel very good about the additions in free agency and in the draft. I think we've gotten better across the board there. So, and we've got some guys that we've really liked being there with. Searcy has played well. Byard, again, just coming off his rookie year, he looks like an old vet back there. Again, the addition of Cyprian as a safety is, again, I think we're very deep at the safety position, even with Curtis Riley, who's banged up a little bit right now. And then Brendan Trawick, who's got a lot of experience. I've been watching him on film because I'm watching film from last year, and he interception against Denver. We're pretty good at the back end. And then corner, I think we're improved as well with some young talent.
Is Kalen Reed a corner or a safety?
He's a corner who can play safety, who can play special teams. So he has a pretty large role on this team.
What's the skill that you have to play both corner and safety in the NFL?
Well, you got a lot of on your plate, especially in this defensive scheme. This is a very complex scheme with the blitz packages that we have. So you have to have some intelligence about you, and got to be a good communicator. Got to be able to put guys in the right place. You're basically the captain of the back end, making sure guys are lined up and covering the right guys. So he's got a lot on his plate and has handled it pretty well for a young player.
Could Kalen Reed make the case that he's the most improved player on the Titans roster from 2016 to 17?
I think Kalen is a great example of the value of a practice squad. And David Flewellen is another one that being patient, and which is, it's frustrating because you work all week and you can't play on Sundays. And they put their time in, and they improved every week. And that's what the practice squad is for guys to continue to progress to where they can make the active roster and then contribute on Sundays. And these guys have done that, and Kalen's a great example of that.
Where has David Flewellen improved the most to get himself from the practice squad to the active roster this year?
Well, he ran the ball very well, this preseason. I mean, you saw he's got some power. He's got really good vision. But his value has been how well he's played special teams when he's had the opportunity. And, again, that's only been in the preseason, the last couple preseasons. He's really made a showing that we felt good about him coming into this year, and then he didn't let us down. He was very very good on our special teams this preseason.
Does it make you any bit nervous that you're only carrying three tight ends?
No, I mean, I'll be honest. That's typically what I've been familiar with. Has been three tight ends, and it's not a concern. You know, we have a practice squad. Tight end Jerome Cunningham is here. Again, he would not probably be up on Sundays. Remember, we have to put seven players down inactive every Sunday, which is a frustrating part of the process. Here's seven guys that, you know, most of them healthy can play but can't because you got to get down. There's a number of these guys, even though they'd be on the roster, they still wouldn't be up to play on Sundays.
Mike Mularkey Show on Titans Radio, 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Opening weekend of the season, you were asked a lot of questions after practice yesterday that related to flipping the switch, going from preseason mode to regular season mode. You don't worry about it at all with the veteran players, but with these rookies, especially your top five guys, your top five draft picks, all of whom would seem to have a pretty significant role on Sunday. Is it hard for them to flip the switch in preparation mode?
I don't think so. Not with the locker room we have. I really like this locker room. I like the veterans in it. I just like how they care for each other. How they, you know, they like hanging around each other. I mean, it's just a close football team, and they've taken these rookies since the day they got here and try to get them as comfortable within the team to, you know, not be. I don't think it's too big for them, but this is, you know, it's kind of turn the lights on. The lights are on now. This is the real deal, and I think they understand that just based on our veterans and how we came out Monday to practice. They knew something was different.
Rookies are treated very differently than when you came in the league, for sure.
Well, it's different. Yeah, okay. It's definitely different. A lot of things are different.
All right. There's a point between making sure that rookies have respect for the job and for the older players, but also making them feel like they're a part of the team so they will have the confidence to perform and contribute. It seems like these veterans walk that line very well.
No doubt about it. They welcome them with open arms, came in, some of them competing for their jobs, and knowing that it's about the team, and that's the thing about it. It's always about the team. Team first is one of our big beliefs, and these veterans have done a great job with these rookies, because I think our rookie class, especially the guys you're talking about, have been pretty productive and have shown off what they're capable of doing in these preseason games.
One of the guys you're talking about is Harry Douglas, who is on injured reserve but can return after 8 games potentially,
right,
if his knee gets healed up. How much of a coaching role do you expect him to take with the youngsters while he's not able to actively play?
Oh, Harry knows that's an important role why he's here, especially in the team meeting room or in the wide receiver meeting room. But on the field, I trust Harry. I've known Harry a long time, and he is a coach on the field. Alex Tanney, I asked him, you know, you can play a role in that quarterback room, maybe relieve Jason Michael, Coach Michael, from some of his duties to where he can expand and help Marcus again in some other area we may just not have time. So we got some guys that I feel good about being in those meeting rooms that are helping some young players.
Really tough break for Tanney. I saw him get grabbed on the play, and you thought, well, he's twisted his ankle, and it turns out he broke his foot.
Yeah, it was a little more severe than we thought. And again, unfortunate. He was having a good preseason. Really, he's had a good offseason. Really unfortunate for him.
Let's go to Matt in Sacramento. Matt in Sacramento, we welcome you to Titans Radio and the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead. Hello, Matt. Did we lose him? I guess we've lost him. Matt, hopefully you'll call back. We've got the coach for just a couple more minutes. Or if you would like to get in and ask one of the final questions on this edition of the Mike Mularkey Show, the number is 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671, or Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Remind you, we're on the air at 11 a.m. Central on Sunday. That's noon Eastern with Titans Countdown. Titans and the Raiders from Nissan Stadium, and you've been doing this a long time as a player and as a coach. The week, it seems to just crawl by. This week does. The preseason goes quickly, but this week just seems to crawl by. And you've got to, you know, while you're excited and you're intense, you've got to make sure and sort of focus on the business at hand. It's a very special week for everybody who loves the NFL.
There's nothing like this week. And I said that to the team on Monday after practice. Coaching staff knows that, but there's nothing like opening day. Sunday is special in the NFL, and looking forward to it.
Will you watch the Thursday night game between the Chiefs and the Patriots?
When we're done working, yeah. We'll probably be working about halfway through the game. So, yeah, we'll catch the tail end of it.
Miami scheduled to host Tampa Bay, but with the impending hurricane, that game's not going to be played on Sunday in Miami. So the question is, do they move it somewhere else, or – do they play on November 19th when both teams, ironically, have a bye? Not really a good scenario either way, but obviously more important things to consider.
Yeah, that's the thing, safety for everybody. And so, you know, I know they don't want to do it on their bye because then they'd be playing straight through. That's the way it used to be before the bye even came around. So I think they have a couple options, maybe play early earlier than Sunday before that storm hits. But number one thing is everybody's safety.
As you get ready to take on the Oakland Raiders, what does this week of practice have to focus upon? What do you have to do well in the next 3 days to get ready for a team that was 12-4 a year ago?
Yeah, this is a good football team coming in. They're playing a good football team, and I've said it to the coaches. I've said it to the players. This game is about, I think, victory is going to favor the team that makes the least mistakes, because I think they're very even teams when you come down to it, and mistakes here or there, just similar to last year. I think it's going to be a close game. But, you know, last year we made some mistakes, especially the turnovers in our own territory that hurt us, the penalty late in the game, things like that that just we couldn't overcome. But it should be a good football game.
Do NFL teams look at games like these as measuring sticks to see where they are?
I think you just take this is an important game. Just like when we get next week, that's an important. They're all important games. I'm not sure you can do that. You know, some do. I don't. I think we're a good football team when we play well and don't make a lot of mistakes.
Final minute with you. What do you say to the Titans fans about Sunday?
Come on out. It's going to be a heck of a football game. As much as it's being talked up, it should be that way. And need your help. I mean, I think we've gotten much more fan support even from a year ago. We've started to knock out the visiting fans out of our stands, which is important to this football team, that we have our home fans in that stadium, and we give them everything they want. But they'll see a team that's going to compete to the end.
It's almost here.
I'm ready. I think this team's ready.
All right. Coach Mike Mularkey going to head back for preparations. We thank him for his time tonight and tell you that Dave McGinnis is just ahead to talk about the upcoming matchup. He, of course, our Titans radio analyst this season. We will visit with him and remind you one more time of when we get started on Sunday. Kickoff is set for 12:02. We are on the air at 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern time. Rhett Bryan and Titans Countdown for the Titans and the Raiders from Nissan Stadium. The season opener is upcoming on Titans Radio.
Me, but doesn't seem to surprise you.
No, it didn't surprise me because, first of all, with the 34 defense and what Dick LeBeau runs, all of these guys are interchangeable. And plus the fact these linebackers on this football team, they're a big part of the special teams, you know, what's going on here. Now, to me, the decisions are going to be who's on the 46. That will make a difference. But you said it early on, and then when I came on a month ago and started looking, there were this many linebackers that are NFL caliber players on this squad, and I think they were very wise to keep them all.
Dave McGinnis joining us on the Mike Mularkey Show, talking about the upcoming season opener with the Oakland Raiders. What do you like about Oakland as you look at them on paper?
I mean, these are two very similar mirror image teams, not only about the way they're put together, but they are also very similar in where their development is in this league. They're both really up-and-coming teams. They're both very physical football teams. I think the first thing that strikes me is when you start looking at Oakland, their center guard triangle in there is probably one of the best in the league. Their offensive line, they have a chance with that offensive line to be a very, very good offense. I mean, and it's the same thing that's going on here in Tennessee. That offensive line gives you a chance to be able to do a lot of things. And that's I think where the similarities start. And then all you've got to do is go to the main guy, go to the quarterback. Both these quarterbacks are very similar in age, very similar in development, very similar in coming off of injuries last year, but very similar too. They're both linchpins, and they're both high level quarterbacks, in my opinion, that are only ascending and going to get better. These are two very close mirror image teams, and this is a tremendous opener for both teams. And it should be one hell of an NFL football game.
Your entire tenure with the Titans as an assistant coach overlapped with Jack Del Rio's time with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So you've seen him 16 times during your time here, and I'm sure you've seen him other times beyond.
Jack Del Rio teams, what are they all about?
They're physical teams. I mean, Jack was a defensive football player and a very good linebacker. And, you know, they're going to be physical teams. They're also going to be very fundamentally sound teams. Jack's been in this business a long time. He understands and he gets it. I also think Jack Del Rio has grown as a head coach. Just like everybody grows in this league, I think he's grown into really one of the top-tier head coaches in this league with what he's been able to do, especially when he got to Oakland with Reggie McKenzie. The thing that they've put together there, I mean, they took a franchise that was not in real good shape, and all of a sudden they've developed a really good football team. So I've always been impressed, you know, with Jack Del Rio, but he's an NFL guy. He's been at it a long time, and he's sitting on top of a pretty good young developing team right now, Mike.
Speaking of young and developing and good, Khalil Mack started his career at linebacker. Now he's a defensive end. He's not the biggest guy. He may not be the fastest guy, but he is so special. Why?
Well, you know, I in grading him coming out when he was coming out of school, the guy's got a burst off of the edge. He's also got the ability to bend his body, but at the same time, this dude can bring speed to power so quick on an offensive tackle and anybody that's trying to, you know, try to get it in his way. And what he's also done as he's come into the league, he's given them some versatility because this dude's a good space player too. I mean, he can do a lot of things. He was one of my favorite linebackers coming out of that draft, and he's lived up to his draft status. But his speed to power ability is special in this league.
Power, we think of Marshawn Lynch. Sat out last year, supposedly retired. How do you expect him to come back, and what does he give this offense that they didn't have?
You know, Marshawn Lynch, and of course, being in the NFC West like I was, and, you know, going against him twice a year when he was at Seattle, he's probably one of the angriest runners in this league. He runs angry. He's extremely powerful lower body. He's a punishing runner. He's a relentless runner. And plus, sitting out the year, you know, the one thing about him, he always ran with a chip on his shoulder, and I think it's only gotten bigger, you know, the year that he set out. This dude, he made Seattle what they were, because when Seattle lost him, they were not as hard to defend. And I know this personally from having done it quite a bit there in the NFC West. This guy's going to add a dimension to this football team, and he gives them some physicality that everybody feeds off of.
And surprisingly, to some at least, he had something in the passing game too.
No, this guy's a good football player. And, I mean, and again, and nobody's going to sleep on Marshawn Lynch because he's got a body of work. He's laid down tracks that everybody understands what this guy is. But him coming back, and again, I know, you know, Oakland's his hometown. He's rejuvenated. He's still got a lot left. And as I said, you've got a load coming at you when you've got Marshawn Lynch.
Quite a challenge in week one. How much of an advantage for Oakland that they have come here the last 2 years and won in Nissan Stadium?
Well, I mean, both teams are familiar with each other because they've played each other. They know each other. I think these staffs know each other. I mean, there's going to be some different wrinkles, you know, thrown at it. You know, Oakland's got a new offensive coordinator that's going to do, you know, some different things, some things that we haven't seen in the preseason. But again, these teams are very familiar with each other. And having played each other as much as they have in the last 2 years, it's nearly like a division game because they know each other very, very well. I think the fact that they've come in here, they've both been very tight football games. This is one of the better openers in the league, Mike. I'm just glad that we're here to be able to see it.
It's going to be hard to make it the next 5 days without sort of bursting.
Well, you know what? What I learned early on in my career, and the veteran coaches when I was brand new 30 years ago said, just keep your powder dry, son. It'll get here.
Yeah, it'll get here. Coach, we'll see you Sunday.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, Dave McGinnis, our Titans radio analyst, joining us tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show. Our producer is Brandon Hagany. Our traffic director is Anna Jones. Director of Sales, Hunter Rice. Operations Manager, Charlie Cook. General Manager, Allison Warren. And the executive producer of Titans Radio is Rhett Bryan. For Mike Mularkey and also Dave McGinnis, I'm Mike Keith. Thanks for joining us. And remember, we're on the air at 11 Central, noon Eastern this Sunday, the season opener between the Tennessee Titans and the Oakland Raiders. We'll see you then.
The The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.